When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Not bad, and it's not wrong to feel really unhappy right now. There's a saying, and I'm not sure who said it, but in an insane world, a sane man will feel insane. Just to say, like, in a sad world, a happy person will feel unhappy. I don't know. Like, let's just acknowledge that it's a really crazy time right now.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. Starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and as always, it's my honor and blessings just to be with you. I am so excited for another brand new episode. I have a dear, dear friend on, and I'm so excited about the topic. We're going to talk about finding joy and happiness, and yes, even some comedy and laughter in chaos. I don't know about you, but I never expected to be, well, what, we're going into, you know, counting down to 2 years now. And I'm sorry, guys, this is just getting old. So I wanted to ask my dear friend, Alicia Dattner, back on the show. She is a comedian extraordinaire. She travels the world doing comedy, as well as teaching people how to enjoy their own comedic side, as well as writing and so many other things. Just getting to the heart of who we are. And her roots run deep in comedy. She's just had a propensity for poking fun at herself and world in general since she was a small child. And she learned from an early age that there is a lot of humor in dysfunction. And gosh, that's why I called her dysfunction. What a great word for now. She's been mentored by some of the fantastic, great comedians. And I could just go on and on, but I want to have more time with her. So welcome, Alicia. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sharon. It's an absolute delight. It's so good to see you again.
Oh, it is too. And welcome back from Bali.
Thanks.
Now, how long were you over there? You kind of had a surprise elongated visit, right?
Well, it's a longer story. I was there 9 months this time, and actually I went on purpose.
Oh, somehow in my mind,
the first time, it was like my fourth time back in February of 2020. I just filmed my comedy show in San Francisco, and I was going for like a couple months. I taught a week-long workshop there called Bali Bliss, which was a storytelling yoga creativity workshop. And
oh, sounds perfect right now.
It was so great. And it was like a week long, and it was the third time I was teaching it. So, you know, we had this beautiful time, great folks participating and living in this beautiful hotel that we were in. And one person didn't come because she was a little nervous about the virus. Kind of hadn't really hit yet. And so it was maybe a month in that everything started going down. I had met a guy and we decided to go to Portugal together when the virus was hitting. So we took off, we had a crazy adventure, and I was in Portugal for 3 months.
That's where you were. I remember you were off on some adventure for a long period of time. Yeah. I love Portugal too. So fantastic.
That was really nice.
Now, I wanted to talk to you, though, about how do we find the humor? I know when you and I are just chatting over tea or something, which one of these days we're going to do in person again, we have a great time laughing, and I always walk away feeling good. Now, I know there's a lot of physical reasons that laughter is good for you, as well as spiritual and psychological.
Well, I was going to say it's just me, so...
Well, that's partly true. You can get me laughing really quick, which is a great skill.
The Alicia magic, Sharon.
Exactly. But let's talk of just a little bit about, in all your understanding of laughter and comedy and finding the funny side and sort of the poking fun side at things, how that gets us through things.
It's so important. I mean, there are so many benefits of laughter that we just have to look at, like, just from a baseline. They're physiological, and the physiological impacts our psychological and our, you know, emotional health. It increases oxygen. It increases blood flow. It increases endorphins. It reduces cortisol. It's like the benefits of exercise, basically, or sex, like all the stuff that makes you more alive. It, you know, you're breathing deeply, and our, you know, 7 million years of laughter, our bodies have been using this laughter and humor as a mechanism for release. It's like crying. It's like orgasm. It's this enlivening process that seems, in a way, like it could almost be extraneous. Like, oh, I don't need, what's that for? But it's actually integral to who we are as beings. And so all of those physiological processes start to impact our brain, and we make new connections, new neural nets. We disrupt old grooves, and we hear the sound of our voices, and we release nitric oxide, which opens our heart and our blood vessels.
Our circulatory system.
Our circulatory system. It all is opening. And so it's like, you know, going through blah, 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 or let's be alive and let's move out of the automaton phase and space of our computers and our phones, and let's actually be humans that have spontaneous, unpredictable, new moments that happen in our lives. And so for me, I don't know, I feel like I sort of just ranted. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
All of that adds up to, you know, joy in a way to me isn't just like, you know, when we try to find joy, it can be a little elusive. It's like trying to get turned on, right? Ooh, I want to feel sexy. Like, how do you do that? But if you do something creative, you do something interesting, you do something new, you do something truthful, those are the pathways that bring you into aliveness, that bring you into turn on, that bring you into, you know, feeling more alive, more you.
Oh, and more creative. And I find, I loved when you said laughter and crying, because to me, I feel sometimes the same release from both of those, emotionally and physically. To me, they feel very similar in a way. And I find that fascinating, how it's just an emotional release.
Yeah, and I would say definitely two sides of the same coin.
And I think we're getting stuck in crying more than laughter, some of us.
I have this weird thing that happens to me. It's a weird, like, psychological, physical, emotional release that happens. So when I when I watch like America's Funniest Videos, or I see like a clip reel of like people like falling and pants falling down and like, you know, kind of like a like rapid fire, like a cat, like, you know, like like one after the other. It's occasional, but I will start to like laugh uncontrollably. It's very rare for me to laugh uncontrollably because humor is so cerebral for me. So like caught up in like the analysis of comedy. And I'm kind of tracking so much that it's hard for me to just totally let go like I want my audience to do. Oh. But so for me, what makes me laugh uncontrollably is like just wacky, spontaneous, weird things happening all like rapid fire in a row. So that happens. I get totally out of control. I'm laughing, laughing, laughing. And there's a moment I kind of go over a cliff and I start crying. And then I'm laughing and crying at the same time, but I'm not laughing out of the humor. I'm actually crying because it's triggered some kind of like the laughter has given open a space for me to feel the grief or whatever I've been holding on to. So I'm laughing and feeling the joy and silliness and crying and feeling the grief and sadness at the same time. And then it's like an infinity loop and I'm feeling them and going back and forth. And it's like the most alive, ecstatic experience. I encourage anyone, try it at some point.
Yeah, I don't know how weird that is. I haven't watched that kinds of videos in rapid fire, but I have a friend that just is so quirky and sees the most interesting ironies of life. And you'll just be walking along and just out of this mouth will come some sort of bizarre irony you've never thought of. But the minute it's put into your brain, you're like, oh my gosh, that is so true. And that kind of thing just causes me to start laughing about why I never thought about it. Oh my gosh, that's so true. That's so quirky. That's so bizarre. And I just start laughing to the point where I end up crying as well. That's so fascinating. Now, I know neither of us are psychiatrists to explain
that. And you do that too?
That,
you start?
I do.
That's so awesome.
Mostly with this one friend who sees irony.
When you get to the crying, do you also feel an emotional release of some sad feelings or grief? Or is it only like I'm sort of a physical, like, oh, I'm laughing and crying?
It is, but I couldn't pinpoint to you what kind of grief. I couldn't say, oh, I'm crying over X.
A release.
It's
totally.
Just like a pent up release. It's like, it's like the uncontrollable laughter just opens the floodgates and it's just like, oh, well, here we go. Hang on.
People haven't had that experience. It's I mean, to me, it's priceless. And then I get to a moment where like, I'm kind of in my body and I'm feeling and I'm, it's physical, it's emotional, but then there's also a witness that's seeing the whole like duality of it, the happy and sad, and witnessing it. And like, sometimes I can kind of get into a non-dual space of like, just a kind of, whoa, life, like,
wow, that sounds
that I'm
wonderful.
Just like, I'm just, oh, sad and happy is just this sweet like thing that happens in a body, and you know, and we're alive and here we are, like, and yeah, there's a kind of like encompassing the whole awareness of it's kind of just a play. I'm just watching the play.
Well, I love this. And you just made this line of like, we're alive and here we are. And so maybe some of the people are going, I just don't even feel like being funny right now, or I haven't heard anything funny right now, or whatever. Do you have some tips to get people to be able to find their funny bone again?
Yes. I'll start by backing up a bit and really just saying like, I honor that it's not a funny time. And I do kind of have a feeling that like in some way it's the job of the comedians who, when we're not finding things funny, to actually say that and to actually step up and say, wow, this is beyond, like, this is beyond, like, this isn't funny. Like, I'm trying and I can't find the funny. And to be willing to say like, yeah, that's a really big statement to make.
It's a really big statement. Yeah.
And I think it's not wrong. And I think it's not wrong for us to have times when we don't want to laugh. So I know you're having me here to help talk about laughter, but I just want to honor that it's not bad and it's not wrong to feel really unhappy right now. There's a saying, and I'm not sure who said it, but in an insane world, a sane man will feel insane.
Oh, wow. I had not heard that one. It makes sense.
Just to say, like, in a sad world, a happy person will feel unhappy. I don't know. Like, it's like, let's just acknowledge that it's a really crazy time right now. And if you're like, just fine and things are good, then that's a little weird. If you're not feeling some of the intensity. Now, from that place, yes, it's important for us to find our center again and to reground and reroot and deepen our capacity for staying centered and for staying connected with something more eternal and something greater than ourselves and something that buoys us and gives us light and ease. What I like to do, I lead a laughter yoga, and I led it at the Soul Play Festival I was at a couple weeks ago. And I do it really differently than a lot of people. Laughter yoga has kind of a reputation for like, okay, now let's just laugh. Ha 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 ha. And that's really hard for me. I can't. I was trained in authentic relating, and I can't just go there. I need to start where I am.
I'm glad you say that, because the one time I took a laughter yoga class, the instructor just said, okay, start laughing. And you can kind of force yourself to giggle, but that wasn't the same.
Yeah. So number one, there are studies that say that your body can't tell the difference between induced laughter, you know, fake laughter and spontaneous laughter. So that's good news. It's good news because if we are sort of trying to get there, it's like a muscle. And so it is good to start practicing. And it is a kind of fake it till you make it. However, knowing all of that, let's really just start where we are. And so what I do in my classes is I have people start to just relax very deeply. I have everybody lay on the floor. Everybody start to do that. We did it outside. So, and we were all at this festival and it was all COVID safe. We were all COVID tested. No one at the festival ended up having it or catching it. So that was really awesome. Anyway, I feel like I have to like say all of these things now.
It's a crazy time.
Oh my God. So anyway, everybody's laying down and I just have people start to basically like, if you're tense, it's very difficult for spontaneous things to happen. You're holding like this, you know, we're walking through the day like this, basically emotionally, like what's going to happen? We're all in PTSD, right? We're pre-traumatic stress disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder. It's all over the map. And I have people just start to breathe deeply. Start right where you are. So we just breathe more and more deeply. And then I have people make a sound as they breathe out. And then I have people start to make the ha sound. And now ha is that vowel activates the heart chakra, the fourth chakra. So starts to tickle in here. So we're opening this plane right here, heart emotions. So we go, and so I start to have people just make that sound. And then over time, I have people starting where they are, make that sound from whatever feeling they are feeling, whatever emotion is present. If you're angry, if you think this is dumb, if you are sad, continuing to make the ha sound. And so there is no faking the emotion. There is effort and energy in opening your mouth, making the sound, staying focused, being with the emotion, letting it flow out through the body. So there is effort, but it's not faking it. And so we just continue for like quite a while, continuing whatever you're feeling, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're feeling. And as that, your body and your being get the message that whatever you're feeling is allowed to be expressed, and you're hearing other people go, ha, oh, ha, 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 stuff starts to arise. The spontaneous stuff starts to arise, and the field knows intelligently. There is an intelligence, and that intelligence starts to get a wave going. And that wave starts to become often actual laughter, and different people will pop, and the laughter will start popping and happening authentically and spontaneously.
Wow. That must be amazing to feel the energy of that gathering of the space.
It's really fun. It's really fun.
Wow. But obviously we can do that by ourselves too. We just listen to how you described it, and we can just put ourselves on the floor here with and do that too.
Yep. It helps to have another person to bounce off of, but yeah, you can do it on your own.
So we're in that space. The laughter's coming spontaneously. We're enjoying that. Is there like another step, or do we just let it release and diminish organically, or how do we continue that really good feeling?
I would continue to dive into what's really present for someone. You know, if you are doing that on your own or doing it in a group, trying to stay in the really good feeling ends up being counterproductive often. And so if we can continue to delve further, so I often have people continue to work. We do it actually as a group, as a field, releasing our tension in our bodies all together. So when we dive back into the not really good feelings, I start to have people say, okay, so where do you still feel tension? Let's go there and let's see how we can release it. So, you know, who's feeling tension in their knees? Oh, Sarah has tension in her knees. Let's all breathe into Sarah's knees together and be with that tension and see if through our sound and through our relaxation, we can allow that to release. So rather than diving into the good feelings, we dive into the challenging feelings. And so we all breathe into Sarah's knees.
I'm sorry, that alone was just the whole.
And then you can find that hilarious.
I was biting my tongue the first time you said it, but I couldn't stop it the second time.
Bite your tongue, because the fact that you find that funny, that's the comedy. Don't stop yourself from laughing.
The idea of breathing into Sarah's knees, and I don't even know Sarah, but just the idea of somebody saying that in a group, I'm like, that's sort of the irony type of thing. Like,
did I just hear?
That's what makes me laugh, is when I hear weird stuff. I don't know why.
Well, yeah. And then you hear somebody next to you going, and then you start laughing at that because they're making a weird sound. And so you include everything. It's all fuel for the fire. It's all fuel for the laughter. It's all fuel. You just keep riding that wave. Oh, that's weird. Oh, what is going on? This is bizarre. Oh, that reminds me of something my friend said last week that was totally crazy that I started laughing at. And you start laughing at that again. And then it's like everyone's bringing in all of their different, all their fuel. You know, people are bringing in things that make them laugh. People are bringing things that make them cry. People are, you know, and the overall intention of the field is that we are, you know, feeling, releasing and raising our vibration and increasing our life force.
Wow. Fantastic. And on that, we need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this idea of life force and finding some joy and happiness. And I love that. Oh my goodness. Gave me a little chills just listening to it, guys. And I wasn't part of that, but even just listening to the experience, fascinating. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach, and my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone. Oh my goodness, I'm still sort of laughing on the side, trying to come up with a voice pattern that sounds like a really good moderator here for the show at the same time. It's okay, we're triple tracking here because I'm here with my good friend Alicia Dattner, and she's an amazing comedian who sees a lot of the ironies of life. She loves poking fun at those ironies of life, and including herself. She was just explaining this marvelous process of laughter yoga and how we could do it ourselves alone, or I guess I could even see this being done in a virtual type of group. It might be a little different, but just in hearing the sounds and not knowing I was in the room, that I could laugh and I don't know. That's kind of interesting too, taking that part of it. So I appreciated you sharing that with us in such great detail. It really brought it home and how we could do it for ourselves. I know you do a thing called embodied writing, and I wanted to share about that too, because I'm a huge fan of how writing can help us understand ourselves, the world, things going on around us, help us understand other people. So take us into your embodied writing.
Thank you. Embodied writing was born out of a very concrete, real need that I have to have a place to be accountable to write. I have been doing comedy for a long time, and I started leading workshops and coaching people in transformational storytelling and comedy and speaking. And I would have a coaching session or have a class, and people would show up saying, "Ooh, yeah, I didn't get that done." And they would even feel shy not having written or not having worked on their piece. And for me too, like, it's just hard to sit down when you know you've got something powerful, when you know you've got something big, to sit down by yourself and stare at that blank page, and you put it off and you say, "Oh, I'm going to be a writer," or whatever. So I realized I needed a space that is community oriented, where we're really in connection with each other, that is portable. So we do it on Zoom, and you can do it anywhere, and where we connect deeply to ourselves. And what I realized was, when I write, a lot of the time, if I'm just typing at a computer and I'm by myself, I'm writing from my neck to my head. And this is how much of myself I'm including. I'm not saying I'm not, like, you know, in our writing, any way you write is beneficial, right? You're delving, you're creating, you're getting into something that's helpful for you.
But I find that can be very cerebral.
It can be very cerebral. And yeah. When you write, I believe my philosophy is when you write from a cerebral place, that's what your reader receives. They receive a cerebral transmission.
A textbook.
Yeah. But if you get in your body before you write, or you dance, or you do yoga, or you do EFT, or you do Tai Chi, or you just do an emotional release Osho meditation. Think about how, like I just, you know, described this laughter yoga experience. You do laughter yoga. Imagine how much of yourself from every angle, every area, every blood cell that's flowing, all of that aliveness comes through you and into the work. And imagine the words that come out that flow effortlessly from that place. And imagine what your readers or your audience could receive as a result of that, that would be different from typing like this. And so that's what embodied writing is. Every week I lead a different exercise that gets us in our bodies, that relaxes us, and that has us filled out, you know, like taking up the whole room, the whole space, the whole apartment, the whole house, the whole block, the whole planet, you know, how big we are, really acknowledging how big we are. And then we do a very focused writing session. And then we share it with each other.
Oh, wow. How fun is that?
Really fun.
Teaching us also the ability to do it apart from the group as well. Getting us that muscle memory going is what I love about doing it in groups, is you get that muscle memory going, and then you're able to keep that flow going during the rest of the week just from muscle memory. And then you recharge it again within the group. Wow. That sounds amazing. What are some things you've learned about yourself as you're doing embodied writing?
Oh, that's such a good question. What are some things I've learned? I've learned that I know a lot of different embodiment practices. I didn't realize how many different practices I could lead. I've learned that I, too, have a hard time sitting down and writing. I have learned that when I show up for a writing practice and I put pen to paper or finger to key, that really good stuff comes out in a very short period of time when I'm really focused.
I find focused has been a little more difficult during this time, during the pandemic time. And I've been working sometimes to refocus. But yeah, for me, it's so important to understand the power of focus. And I feel like there's a lot of distraction going on right now, whether it's just emotional or energetically in the air. The other day, I was out for a walk in the neighborhood. Even then, I could feel it when the people cross the street. You might be doing the right thing, all masked up walking and all that, but people are crossing the street and there's some, it was just energetically, it was interesting to me. It was a real distraction when I came back to the house. And I always go for a walk so I can come back, be ready to sit there for an hour or so. And I just found that was a distraction in my mind. It was funny how it affected me that somebody, you know, really needed to be another 50 feet from me, even though we were basically could have been 12 feet apart or something. It was, I don't know why I took it personal, because there was nothing personal about it, but it was an emotional thing. It was really funny how I reacted.
It's an interesting time now. It's interesting. I mean, sometimes it's like, I'll, you know, give someone an extra few feet. And I mean, it's funny because it could be either way. It could be, I'm giving you extra feet because I'm scared of you, or because I'm being respectful to you. You know, it could go
exactly
either way. Like maybe their story was, I'm giving this person so much extra space because she really needs it.
I know. And then, but the story I'm playing is a totally different story. And that's what I find.
You're being a jerk to me. I'm infectious or something. Like, I'm going to hurt you by just walking near you, like 12 feet away.
Exactly. It's
such
so
a
funny.
weird, fearful time.
It is. It's weird. Then the stories that we tell ourselves, obviously, yeah. about what's happening is fascinating to me.
Oh well, God. And I want to say too, like when we start to do the laughter yoga and we get into that space of physical release, that the just laughter itself starts rewiring our brains so that the stories, we start to have perspective on the stories that we've had. I mean, I'll do exercises where we start to like, we take a thing we're upset about or, you know, your story about like this person and we put it out here. Rather than, you know, we go, okay, what is this thing I'm frustrated about? And I put it right here and like, then I laugh about it. And then I actually have people do it in teams. So you're going to laugh about my thing too and imitate my laughter about it. So together we're laughing about this thing that is like kind of ridiculous. And the interplay between, your physical release and what's happening in your brain of rewiring things starts to unlock the stories and starts to like shake them up and give you more perspective on them. And so you start to like go, oh, maybe it's not that big a deal. And, you know, we can do that with like affirmations. I don't find that very super helpful. We can do that with EFT, which, you know, which deals with the energetic meridians. I find that pretty helpful. Laughter does it in a way that that like the rewiring occurs kind of just magically on its own and dislodges our, like, we literally are laughing at our own stories.
I love that. And this idea of getting perspective. Years ago, when I was learning all about nonverbal communication and body language, one of the instructions was about taking that observer role, that third position of like, what are those two people over there are doing?
Yeah.
You know, how would I describe it if I was observing this situation? And that's where, when I heard you talking about perspective, I remembered the part of the training that talks about put yourself in the observer role and then what are you actually seeing and understanding about situations and the impact that it has on you from that third position. I always find that so easy if there's any sort of conflict. And obviously as I tell you about it and I think about it, well, I guess it was like a mini conflict. It's like, who's going to cross the street or why are we crossing the street or do we, you know, whatever, but gain perspective on it. And what's one of the easy ways is to take that observer role.
What would your observer say having seen that?
Oh, good question. My observer, one of the things that came up for me as I was listening to you talk about perspective is my observer role of goes, why did you take that personally? What was it about it? Was it a fear of they don't like me? Was it, you know, all these five-year-old fears came up, you know, like I'm not going to be part of the party. Just crossing in the street. But as I noticed from that observer role, it was this idea of, oh, you know, it's sort of that loneliness trigger happened.
Your five-year-old got a little triggered.
Exactly. And I find that fascinating how, when you say about perspective, and I have a friend, a longtime mentor who taught me this thing, and it's always remembering the word Q-tip and quit taking it personally. And I love that. And when he started talking about that in one of his trainings, he handed out Q-tips and he said, now put this in your pocket. And his trainings are pretty deep. You know, sometimes you go pretty deep and you could be triggered. And you put that in your pocket. And whenever you start to feel triggered, you're supposed to just like either touch or hold or, you know, remember you have a Q-tip in your pocket. And those sorts of anchors are really helpful, I think.
I just would want to put the Q-tip in my ear. I would just be like, get it in my ear.
Walk around with it sticking out both your ears.
I just find Q-tips very sad. I just find Q-tips very satisfying to just like, there's something's getting touched that doesn't usually get touched.
Okay. Well, we'll leave that in there because we need to take a quick commercial break. And you guys can explore your own emotional feelings about Q-tips. And we'll come right back after this.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenil.com. That's P-I-N-K-Y. chenille.com. See you there. Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm here with Alicia Dattner, and she's a comedian extraordinaire, as well as a teacher of all sorts of things, including we heard about her embodied writing. And she teaches people how to write their own comedy, see their own humor in their life story as well. And, you know, one of the things I want to talk about, Alicia, is maybe we have our own perspective on what's been going on with us. And what are some good ways that you found that people can, maybe they don't want to do a comedy show, but maybe they're feeling this need to make meaning and to share their story. Do you have any tips on people being able to share it in?
Yeah. You mean like just in our own stories of our lives and what's happened, you know, things that are challenging?
Absolutely. And maybe they're not going to post it on, you know, a big blog or something like that. But I find writing just so cathartic. And yet I've always sometimes struggled to find the humor or the, I'll say, multiple sides, multiple perspectives.
Yeah. I mean, I think what we've been talking about so far is applicable also to our stories of our lives. And I would say the first thing to do is start where you are. So if you don't find your story funny yet, just start sharing it. And it doesn't have to be in public. It could be just starting to write in your journal, starting to write about your life, you know, starting to write the things that your insights, your awarenesses. I mean, let me back up. Just what happened? Like, what, you know, what are some of the big moments of your life? What are some of the big turning points? Some of the big choices, some of the big decisions, some of the things you didn't have control over, and some of the attitudes that you chose in response to the things that you didn't have control over. And how do you, so just starting to, you know, think about, like, let's say someone who, I don't know, I have a friend who had a big injury and fell down an elevator shaft.
Oh, my.
And as a result, they met their partner through that accident and got married. And
well, now that's a unique love story.
It's a unique love story. that is, you know, like, so how do you, and that person now, like, is, well, I haven't talked to them lately, but like maybe 20 years ago, and life has unfolded, and that person could have, you know, taken that moment and said, wow, I'm, you know, I've injured myself to a degree that, like, where I can't walk very well. And so screw it. Like, I'm out. Or I'm just going to be depressed and upset for the rest of my life. But instead, like, they formed a new relationship. You know, like, it's helpful to give some kind of concrete thing where we start to talk about, when we start to talk about finding humor in your story. I should, you know, talk about my own self.
Well, I have a quick question about finding humor. I've heard some, watch some comedy shows and things like that. And sometimes, especially when it's about the pandemic or something like that right now. And sometimes, even if I'm alone, I go, well, yeah, I found that funny, but gosh, it feels kind of weird to laugh about it.
Well, hopefully when you're alone, you let yourself laugh about it. And I won't tell anybody. I'll keep it a secret. And I'm a firm believer right now, especially at laughing at things that maybe we're not really supposed to laugh about, because down is up and up is down right now. Nothing makes any sense. We don't really know the truth from, you know, there is no ultimate capital T truth in the ways that it felt like there used to be. And I think laughter is just the way that we are sense making. We're making sense through realizing that something doesn't make sense. So to be able to say, like, wow, this is absurd, we should laugh at it, you know, and I don't think you have to, we're all doing our best right now. And I don't believe that it's, you know, that we need to censor ourselves from ourselves. Like, if your funny bone said, yeah, I'm going to start laughing, don't go, hey, that's not okay. You just go, wow, that is kind of crazy. And then you can start to evaluate, like, is that an appropriate thing? You know, is there some part of me that is having an unkindness in my laughter? And you can start to check in with yourself, like, let yourself laugh, let yourself have it, and then go, oh, is there some kind of part of me that is unkind toward the world through that laughter? And noticing, is that a projection of something that I feel ashamed about or upset about in myself? And you can do some emotional work on that. But don't cut the laughter off before it even happens.
Yeah, that's actually the way you just said it there. It actually sounds harmful.
In my opinion, it is. Like, let yourself have it and then go, okay, what? And do some analysis. What was, you know, what was happening there? What made me feel that? You know, it could just be, wow, I'm feeling really powerless and this gave me a release. And wow, it wasn't really the best thing to laugh at, but I needed to just, like, feel a little like, ah. So I would say first, like, writing about your life, just start to write about what's going on. What has happened? What's big? What's challenging? What's scary? What's intense? And then starting to notice what are my insights about it? What makes me laugh about it? What makes me cry about it? What makes me angry about it? What, you know, about the things that have happened? What wise things have come out of? What beautiful things have come out of it? What have I learned about myself or the world or about people I love? From that place, you know, we can start to bring in what you shared about with the observer, starting to take all of that, all of the content of what happened and then my reactions and my responses to it, and then bring the observer in and go, oh, now let me just notice and see the whole play of this life. And, you know, from a third person, from a witness, what do I notice? What, how much of this is me? And how much of this is just being in a human body? How can I use this to awaken?
I love that. We're just down to the last couple minutes. Any final tips or techniques or thoughts you'd love to share with us? And then tell us about your website and where people can find more about you and your workshops.
Yeah, I would say as much as you can, if there is a person or multiple people in your life that you can, that are safe for you, physically, you know, health-wise, that you can actually be in physical presence with other people right now and see their eyes and see their mouths and hear their voices in person and touch their hands and hug them. If there are people in your life where that are safe for you to do that with, that you get in there and that you have touch and you have laughter and you have contact and you have honesty and conversations that have you feel seen and see the other people and giving and receiving love. I think that's just the thing that's going to be most helpful for our regulation of our nervous systems right now. And my comedy special, I still haven't taken it down. It's still up for free. So if you want to see Are You Dressed for the Apocalypse, you can go to aliciadatner.com. aliciadatner, aliciadatner.com, and sign up for my mailing list and you'll get a link until I take it down. You can see my brand new comedy special.
I love that. Are You Dressed for the Apocalypse? Yeah,
yeah. And if you want to join embodied writing, you can go to soloshowdown.com. Solo Showdown, just like it's spelled like it sounds. And that's all my workshops.
Fantastic. We'll have that the two URLs up on Understanding Autoimmune as well. So you guys, if you're doing something else and you're just feverishly looking for that pencil, just we'll have them up over at understandingautoimmune.com. It's where you can share this replay with people as well. And Alicia, thank you so much for sharing all your joy and wisdom. It's wonderful to see you again. And everyone, have a great week. Practice some of these things. Play with them. I'm going to say play with them instead of practice. Play with them, because, you know, I think for me, anything that we can do to just enhance a little bit, just a little bit of sparkle and sprinkle is all that is necessary for it to grow and spread. So it's fantastic. And everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join us over at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Understanding Autoimmune. That's where we are on all of those. Join us there for great insights and other types of things. Connect with us. And join me next week for another brand new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.